We are still the church. Keep pressing on. Amen?
Amen.
That's better. That's better. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I have a very special prayer request for you today. And we're going to take a moment and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Most of you probably have already heard. Some I'm sure haven't. But Brother Ceylon called me yesterday and he said, "Brother Allen, I have a very heavy heart. I have something I got to share with you today. I won't be with you tomorrow. Miss Catherine and I won't be there." Yesterday morning, his son passed away of a heart attack, 53 years old. He said, "Brother Allen, I had lunch with him on Friday. Everything seemed fine. And this morning, he went home to be with the Lord. I got a message from Miss Catherine this morning, and she said he was probably one of the greatest people I have ever known to help someone else out that's going through a hard time. He just had the gift of helps. He loved the Lord. And he's at home in heaven today. And that is the greatest consolation that you and I will ever know of. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." So Ceylon's son is at home in heaven this morning. He was assured of heaven as if though he was already there. And now, he's there. And we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. You can only imagine the grief. Some of you know it very well. You know the grief that they must be hanging on to this morning. Their hearts are broken. And the greatest thing that we can do, I said, "Brother Ceylon, what can we do for you and your family?" He said, "Please just pray." That's all we need right now is just prayer. So we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God to be with them in a very special way. Brother Dwayne, would you take us to the Lord in a word of prayer on behalf of Brother Ceylon, Miss Catherine, and ask the Lord's blessing on the service today as well.
Just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about my sin. it's about how
Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again.
It's about the
stone
that was rolled up. Treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not all about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saves me from my sin. It's about the
cross.
It's about my
sin.
It's about how it's about the
soul so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the
soul. The beginning of this story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can't save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the
cross.
It's about my
sin.
It's about how
Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again.
It's about God's
love
nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from Him when it should have been me. It's about the
stone
that was rolled
away so that you and I could have real life someday. So that you and I could have real life someday.
It's about the
It's about the cross this morning. Hallelujah. If you will, church, take a hymnal. Turn over to page number 393. Let's everyone stand and sing together when we all get to heaven. Sing with me now. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us today, you are our special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. We've got some great friends here today and some others that are visiting with us, and we are so thankful to have you here in the house of the Lord. Just a couple of quick announcements. Please remember, ladies, next Sunday at 3:30, CLU downstairs in the fellowship hall. So please be here for that. That's on next Sunday at 3:30. Please remember that. This evening, of course, 5 o'clock, Brother Dwayne will continue his study downstairs in the fellowship hall at 5. And then Wednesday, 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer meeting. Please be here for that if you can. And I know that would be a blessing to you and be greatly appreciated as well. Please also remember Miss Claudia. She's in the hospital this morning, and I believe she was taken on Thursday. I believe Brother Jeff said that they took her over there on Thursday, and she is still there. She has some situations she is going through, maybe coming from some of the medication that she has been taking. So please, please remember her in prayer. She's got an upcoming surgery. So we got to get her healthy, and I pray the Lord would just be able to do that. I know he's able, and we just pray that his hand would be upon her and that he can make her ready for that surgery if it's his will. But please, please remember her in prayer. We have some others that are going through some very difficult times, and we just pray that the Lord's hand would be upon them. We have our special guest speaker again with us this morning. I was unable to hear him a few weeks ago. We were moving that weekend, you recall. And he said, yeah, you played hooky from me on that Sunday. But we are glad to be in the house this morning with Brother Brian Haney, and he'll be bringing our message here in a few moments. So you please remember him in prayer. And let's just ask God's blessing today on the service, on the offering, as the gift, as well as the giver. And we just pray the Lord's will be done. Anything else?
Yeah. Ladies' prayer brunch Thursday.
Ladies' prayer brunch on Thursday at 11. Here at the church also. So please remember that. Ladies, 11 o'clock on Thursday for the ladies' prayer brunch. I know that would be a great time. I know how you folks are enjoying that. And I know the time that you spend in prayer is greatly appreciated. And also, please remember that homecoming is right around the corner. It's in September. It's on the 6th. Now, I know that that is Labor Day weekend. In order to make everything work together, to have our group here, which is Second Coming. That's Jackson's group that he plays for. And they're going to be here with us on that Sunday morning. And also, Brother Harris will be here and speaking. So it all just lined up to be on Labor Day weekend. So we'll cut you loose early enough that you can go have a cookout somewhere. But you come and enjoy a great time of fellowship and a great time in the Word of God on that Sunday morning. There'll be no evening service on homecoming day. So please go ahead and put that in your calendars, invite folks, and let's come to the house of the Lord on September the 6th. Let's again go to the Lord in word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the service this morning. Father, we love you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to be in your house. Lord, once again, we bring Ceylon and Miss Catherine and the family before you, asking you, Lord, to give them that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray that you be with Miss Claudia and touch her. Lord, touch her body. Be with the doctors and the nurses as they tend to her. And Lord, I pray that you would guide them. You know exactly what is needed there. Lord, for everything that we have coming up, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunities that we'll have to be able to be here and to worship. And Lord, we pray that you would just be with us today. Lord, I pray for Brother Brian as he comes in a few moments to bring the message from the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would touch him, speak through him, and Lord, help us to receive your word today. Lord, I pray that you touch the offering now, both the gift and the giver. Lord, we're going to praise you and thank you for all that is accomplished here today at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. remember. We will remember.
Works of your hands.
prayers with you are with you, Miss Dolores. And the Lord knows exactly what we need. But again, thank you for being here this morning. And would you please make welcome to Calvary once again this morning, Brother Brian Haney.
God bless you. Enjoyed that good testimony. And we prayed this morning in the altar before church that God might even nudge someone to stand up and give him praise and glory. If the choir wasn't out smoking, I was going to have them come up and sing another song. Wasn't that good? No, I think they've gone to the bathroom, but I'm glad. I love that song, We Will Remember. It's a sad state, but in many churches, they have forgotten the goodness of God. And we're not looking to any other than Him this morning. And I just want to thank you for being here. It's good to have some co-workers here, Brother Allen and his dear wife, Esther. And would y'all make them welcome? And they're visiting. They live here in Powder Springs, and they're looking for a good church. Hint, hint. And then it's good to have my longtime friend, and I call Miss Melissa. She's just part of our family. Her daddy was my pastor, Garland Odom, and one of the greatest men that ever put a pair of shoes on in his life. How many of y'all knew Brother Garland Odom? Great man of God. Good to have her with us. Good to have my mom and my stepdad here. Good to have my beautiful wife and Emily. And it's good to have preacher Greg Colston and his wife. And would y'all make all these visitors feel welcome? All right. And let me just say, if you need a preacher to fill in, there's a guy right there who's a preacher. He's a pastor. And they're just like the rest of us trying to find a church that still believes God can in these last days. Y'all understand that what we have here is far and few in between. There's a lot of churches that are meeting, but they've lost the mission. They've lost sight of who we're gathered to worship. We're not here to worship Ceylon. We're not here to worship the deacons or the angels, but there is one in heaven. I thought about the homegoing of his son. You realize that Friday was a token of God's goodness? He let Brother Ceylon have lunch with his son the day before his son would step into eternity. What a mighty God we serve. All right. If you can you hear me out there? Say amen. Amen. All right. Would you take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah and chapter 45. I have worked hard all week. And I'm serious. I almost had the choir come back and sing again. They play country music on the radio station there at work, and it drives me nuts. Amen. Everybody's lost their wife. They've lost their house. They've lost their dog. And I thought, boy, if you play it backwards, they might get some things back again. Amen. And I love working with this guy. He's a go-getter. He's a computer analyst, a specialist, and he knows how to bring business in. And y'all just be sure to shake his wife and his hand off right after the service. I want you to know that I'm not preaching something out of a briefcase this morning. I'm not preaching something that I have preached many, many times. I have messages from the last 20 years, and I've looked over them this week. I've worked from sun up to sundown. I had Thursday off, and we did some errands, and I looked over every message that I could look at. I said, Lord, surely there's something that Calvary needs. Finally, last night, God began to direct me to Isaiah 45. This morning, He put it in my heart. I had it all typed out. The only problem was it wouldn't print on the printer, so I'm preaching by faith this morning. Amen. I want you to stand, if you're able, for the reading and reverence of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible Word. Isaiah chapter 45. Are you there? Say a good hearty amen. Amen. I'll preach a lot better if you'll throw some amens this way. Notice in verse number 1 of Isaiah 45, Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of the king to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Verse 2, I will go before thee. There's something wonderful in this verse right here. Here's the king saying, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. You understand that something is crooked, it cannot be straight. How many have something that's crooked in your life? You have things that you wish were straight, but they're not. He said, I'll go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places. that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee. He said, I've given you a special name, though thou hast not known me. Would you read verse 5 together with me? I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west. Say this last part with me. That there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Look down in verse number 14. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in the chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Look at verse number 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Are you beginning to understand there's a theme here in chapter 45? God is trying to say to His people, I am God, and besides me, there is nobody. He says it again and again. I am God, and besides me, there is none else. Look in verse number 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look at verse 22. This is a mighty verse. Can you read it together with me? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Can we read it together? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Can we read it one more time? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I want to preach this morning on look unto me. Not me, but look unto Him. All right? Let us pray together and then you may be seated. And while I'm praying, would you whisper this prayer? Dear God, would you speak to my heart and help me today? All right, let's pray together. Our Father and our God, it is wonderful to be in Thy presence. It's wonderful to know that You are God and besides Thee there is no other. I want to thank Thee, Father, that there's no one that can compare to You. There's no one like You in Your beauty. There's no one like You in Your blessing. There's no one like You in Your being in all this earth. We search the world over and never find no one as lovely, no one as wonderful, no one as amazing as You are. In this world where many things have our attention, in this world where the church has its eyes on many things, I pray this morning You would cause us to look unto You. You would cause our eyes by faith to look unto You and be ye saved. Someone here today is lost. They've never been saved. I pray today, God, You'd give them the eyes to see and to look unto You and to trust You for Your great salvation. Help the church to look unto You, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. It's a joy to be here. Y'all pray for Brother Allen and Miss Esther. They came in, my visitors. I said, I've saved you a seat right here on the front row. They're probably thinking, we have messed up right now. I can spit farther than the first row. I promise you, you're in a good place, all right? I just want to go with the Lord this morning. We're living in days where man is looking in every direction. They're looking this way, politically, who's going to save us? Who's going to help us? We're looking in the area of family. Who's going to help us? Who can save us? Who can help our family that's in trouble? When we have trouble with our children, I've heard stories this week of kids that have gone off, kids that have been in accidents, kids that have been taken. Who are we looking to in this hour? I want to say there is one that is standing saying, look unto me. You have trouble in life? Look unto God. You want something help this morning? Look unto God. I want to tell you, you can discover that there's nobody like Him. I thought about titling this message on, He is the greatest. And He is the greatest. Can I get a witness right there? I thought about preaching on, He is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. If I was at Mike Bell Chevrolet, they'd be asking the question, who's greater, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Well, I want you to notice that He's better than Michael Jordan and LeBron James. He's greater than Muhammad Ali. He's greater than the greatest president. He's greater than the angels, the book of Hebrews would declare. It's time for the church to look unto Him. We looked in every direction. We're looking for a preacher who can save us. We're looking for a deacon who can lead us in these times of difficulty. I want you to know this morning, church, that what you're going through, there are many other churches that are experiencing these same dry times, these same hard valleys that we're walking through. You're not the only one with just a holy handful, but there are many churches that are hanging on by a thread. And there's churches that just might close their doors if they don't look to Him who's able to lead them into greener pastures. Well, I thought about how we need to look to Him this morning. You could cut your Bible anywhere you want to, and you can ask anybody in here. You just ask the woman at the well, what do you think about Him? She was a woman that had been to that well time and time again. She had been there with her little water bucket, and she had drank from that fountain, and yet she left empty and thirsty and all alone. But on that day, that woman on the well, she met a man named Jesus who said, I'll give thee the water of living, the water of life, and you can have living water. You ask her after she drank of that living water, what do you think of Jesus? She'd say, there's nobody like Him. You think about that woman who was taken in adultery. She was taken, the Bible says, in the very act of adultery. You can imagine her thrown down and naked and embarrassed as the men of the city brought this woman taken in the very act of adultery. Where was the man at, I wonder? But they brought this woman and they threw her down at the feet of Jesus. Wonder what she's thinking about Jesus. She's probably expecting His condemnation to come down upon her. And yet Jesus, he leaned down, had compassion on her, and He lifted her up. She expected the sentence of death, but Jesus looked at her and said, woman, where are thine accusers? Go and sin no more. She left there a changed woman. What do you say about this woman who was taken in adultery? She'd say, I tell you, there's nobody like Him. You ask the great missionary, Apostle Paul. You ask him who was chained to a wall for preaching the glorious gospel. Can you imagine a preacher being locked up and put in shackles for just preaching the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again? You ask that great missionary, the Apostle Paul, what do you think of him? He'd say, I was on the road to Damascus with letters in my hand and lightning in my eyes. I was headed in the wrong direction when all of a sudden, like a freight train, the amazing grace of God ran head on into me. I'll tell you, there's nobody like Jesus. You just ask anybody in that Bible. You ask Moses, what do you think of Jesus? Or what do you think of him? Moses would tell you, I was trapped down in Egypt. I was a slave to Egypt's sin. I chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses would tell you, there was a day in my life when I turned aside to see. There was a bush on top of a mountain that was burning with fire. We need some old-time fire back in the house of God again. Amen. Well, there was at least two of us that knelt and prayed this morning trying to strike a fire on the altar. You say, Moses, what do you think about him? He'd say, I went up on that mountain and I saw a bush that burned with fire, and and yet it was not consumed. He'd say, I'll carry you to another time when God let me and nobody be God's preacher to go down into Egypt. God used a little country preacher by the name of Moses who went down into Egypt and told Pharaoh, let God's people go. Pharaoh, after many plagues and competitions with God, lost, and God's people went out of Egypt with a high hand. That means they were laughing and praising and giving God glory until the time their journey led them to the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, they turned around, and there was Pharaoh and his army. In the front of them was the deep Red Sea. On this side was mountains, and on this side was mountains. They were trapped. What do you do when you're trapped down at the Red Sea? Moses said, God, if you don't come through, we're going down and we're going under. When's Calvary Baptist going to understand that if we don't say, God, if you don't come through, we're going down and we're going under? Moses would say, let me tell you what God did. God said, look, stand still. Be ye still and see the salvation of God. I could preach on Calvary. Just stand still and watch what God could do this morning. You say there's just a few of us. Little is much when God is in it. We're two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there will I be in the midst of thee. Moses would say, I watched God breathe and the breath of God fell upon that Red Sea. What we need God to do is to breathe on the problems that are hindering us, breathe on the people that are standing in front of us and see the salvation of God. You just ask anybody in that Bible, what do you think of him? They'll say, there's nobody like him. What about Mel Trotter? That was a drunk and all he did was live to drink alcohol. He would escape with his life standing on the bridge there in Manhattan, and he was about to jump into the sea, the river, and commit suicide, but he feared meeting God. Mel Trotter, as a drunk man, would stumble past the Pacific Garden Mission there, and he heard someone saying, sir, come in and hear the gospel preached. Mel Trotter thought, I've tried everything. I've looked in this direction and that direction. He went inside that Pacific Garden Mission that night as a man with nothing, a man with no hope, a man with no ambition and nothing going for him. He staggered in there half sober and half drunk, but he heard a man preaching about Jesus, how that Jesus loved him enough to come down and die in his place on bloody Calvary. He heard how the Son of God was nailed to a cross for our sins and transgressions, how that the Son of God, he died as the sacrificial Lamb of God to take away his sins. And that night, Mel Trotter, a man with nothing, no hope, and nobody, he bowed on his knees and said yes to Jesus Christ. You say, Mel Trotter, what do you think of Jesus? He'd say, there's nobody like him. I come to tell you this morning, there's nobody like Jesus. The church used to get excited about Jesus. The church used to sing about Jesus. The church used to pray to Jesus. The church used to come and get on their knees and ask Jesus to help them. I got so much inside of me this morning, but I've only got about 15 minutes left. Can I get an amen right there? My stomach's hungry and I'm thinking about fried chicken or Johnny's barbecue. I want to preach to you this morning on it's time to look unto him. It's time to turn our eyes from Washington and look a little higher than the hills from whence cometh our help. It's time for the church to turn our eyes beyond your pastor emeritus, beyond your past days, beyond the glory days that we once had. I want you to know that we're living on yesterday's memories and yesterday's blessings. And what we need today is to lift up our eyes and to look unto him from whence cometh our help. Well, I want you to notice, there's nobody like him. That's what Isaiah is saying. And it's time to look unto him. Notice number one in verses 1 and 2. We're to look to him in his character. Notice what your Bible says. He said in verse 2, I will go before thee. You know what that means, church? He said, I'll go before thee. That means he'll scout the trail. It means he's already blazed the trail before us. He's already went ahead of us. us and scouted out the enemy. He's already took care of those that would hinder us, and he's already won the battle. He said, I will go before thee. I like to watch a good old cowboy movie. Can I get an amen right there? We're not amen in cowboy movies, but I like to watch them cowboys. They go out, and before they bring the family across that prairie, somebody will go out and they'll blaze a trail. Jesus said, I will go before thee. He's already blazed a trail. Notice what he said in verse 2. He said, I will break in pieces the gates of iron and cut in sunder the gates of I'll break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. You don't need to know Hebrew and Greek to understand that he's saying anything that is standing in your way, I'll move it out of the way. You don't need to know Hebrew or be a theologian to know that anything that is hindering you or holding you back, he said, I will take it out of the way. I thought about this. We need to look to him in his character and see that he will go before us in his birth. No other man was born like Jesus was born. I love Christmas time, and do you understand there's only 5 shopping months left until Christmas? I love Christmas. It's the greatest time of the year. At our work, we decorate there for Christmas. At my house, it looks like Christmas threw up in our living room. We've got everything to remind us that there was a time when in the darkness of the ages, there was a son that was born. There was a virgin that gave birth to a little boy named Jesus. He wasn't just a little boy, he was the Son of God. I'm telling you, Isaiah is describing how that he'll go before us in his birth. You think about every other man that's been born in time and eternity. He was born by way of an earthly mama and an earthly daddy. But when Jesus was born, he had an earthly mama and no earthly daddy. She was a virgin. She was pure and she was clean. And I want to remind you that a virgin still means a virgin in these last days. And it's just right for young ladies and young boys to be virgins before they get married. It's just right to do it God's way. Can I get a good amen right there? If you don't have one, throw one out on credit. He'll go before us in his birth. I'm here today to tell you that Jesus had an earthly mama, but a heavenly father. Isaiah said in 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. All you sign seekers out there, Isaiah said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I think about those old days when I heard my pastor preaching over at 587 Landers Drive. That man of God get in the pulpit, he'd begin preaching. It was like an old crop dusting plane. He'd begin to spit and sputter down that runway, and all of a sudden, I'm telling you, just like all of us preachers, we spitter and we sputter. But when the Holy Ghost get a hold of that man of God, lift him up into the clouds of glory, he'd begin to preach on that blood-sprinkled concourse of Calvary. We'd see Jesus high and lifted up. That's what we need to see in these last days. He'll go before us in his birth. Aren't you glad he will go before us? But he went before us in his battle. No one else could do what he was going to do. Nobody else could go where he was going to go. He would go to the hill of Calvary. He would settle a debt. He would overcome our greatest enemies, that is sin and Satan. Every one of us that has ever been born, even this friend of mine, Brother Allen. I'm telling you, Allen is just as good as they come. He brings us Red Bull every week. He's got a friend that brings us energy in a can. We'll slip back there and say, could we have one? Help yourself. And buddy, we drink us some energy, shake it up, and I'm telling you, we're ready to go for another 12 hours there at work. If it's not that, we'll grab some coffee. But I want you to think about this morning. Every man that's ever been born fell in sin. Every one of us failed to keep the law of God. Why, this morning I was trying to be right with God. I'm coming through Villa Rica there. I'm passing right there where the Crystal and the Taco Bell is. Somebody got off. I had the green light. Somebody got off in their little Dodge Charger. They didn't stop at that red light. They jumped right in front of me, and they were doing about 25 miles an hour. I thought I'd like to tell them a thing or two. I thought I'd just like to announce by way of a horn that somebody's coming through and you're in my way. I hit the horn, and no sooner did I hit it, the Holy Ghost said, "Some man of God you are." What if that's a daddy or a mama that's down on their luck? What if that's somebody that's just searching for an answer and they see a dignified looking fella go by with a shirt and a tie on and say, "Some preacher he is, him and his road rage." I said, "Lord, please forgive me. I want to be right with God." Do you understand the Holy Ghost is that sensitive? And I had to pray, "God, please forgive me." I pray their loud rock music didn't even let them hear me blow the horn at them. He went before us in his battle. I want you to know we have broken the law. How many of you broke the speed limit? Don't raise your hand. There's a policeman in the house back there. Brother Terrell, he'll arrest you. How many of you have ever ran the stop sign, ran the red light? How many of you have ever lied or told a story or lusted? You understand we all have fallen short of the glory of God. But not this man. Jesus Christ, he is the fulfillment of the law. The Bible says he's the end of righteousness to everyone that would believe. He is the fulfillment of the law. You and I failed to keep the law, but he did not fail. He went before us in his battle, overcome sin, and then they crucified him. He who was innocent and knew no sin, they cried out, "Crucified." He was tried, convicted, and sentenced to die. And yet Pilate would say, "I find in him no fault at all." I'm glad today to tell you that though they sentenced him, he was innocent. Though they found him guilty, he was only guilty of loving you and loving me. And though they nailed his hands and his feet to that cross, come with me this morning, church, to the hill of Calvary and look unto him this morning. Can you see the Son of God that was lifted up? Can you see Jesus who came to do battle like you and I could not do? He came to fight an enemy whose name was Satan. He came to fight, not robed in camouflage, but he came to fight in an innocent body. He came as the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. How could he as a lamb overcome Satan? Because he was God's sacrificial lamb. And when you see him lifted up on that cross, his hands were nailed, his feet was nailed, and yet they plaited a crown of thorns on him. He was the king in his birth. He was the king in his death, and he is the king in his resurrection in glory. Can you see him there on the cross? How did he overcome Satan? When Jesus Christ cried out in the darkness, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and died. That blood that flowed out of the body of the Son of God, that rich red blood, it was not from Joseph's veins, but it was from Almighty God's veins. It was holy blood. It was righteous blood. It was innocent, undefiled blood, and his blood is better blood. Why, if some of us had an accident today and we had to have a blood transfusion, they'd search for a certain type of blood. I'm telling you, every blood on this side of heaven, it's tainted by sin. Our blood is not enough blood to wash away one sin. But I'm telling you, that blood, have you ever pricked your finger and had a little piece of blood come out? And boy, we scream and holler and we ask for all kind of mercy and all kind of petting. I want you to know he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Do you know before they hung him on the cross, they brought him to a little stake and they tied his body and they ripped his back with a cat of nine tails. Have you ever seen a back that was flayed open? I'm telling you, the raw body of the Son of God was laid open. And with his stripes, that blood began to flow. Do you understand? That's holy blood. That's life-giving blood. That's wonder-working blood. That's power in the blood. That's power that can wash our sins away. That's blood enough to save, blood enough to secure, and blood enough to satisfy. What we need today is to look unto him and see that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. That's what washes away our guilty conscience. That blood is what washes away our guilty sins. I I've preached in the prisons. Brother Greg has too. I've seen men say, I can't get it off of me. I just can't seem to shake it. What is it? It's the guilt of my murder. It's the guilt of my shame. It's the guilt of my molestations. It's the guilt of my alcohol. I'm telling you, there's only one thing that can wash away such sleepless nights, such guilt, and that is the precious blood of Jesus. It can wash away our sins. Everybody say amen right there. He went before us in his birth and in his battle. Not only did Jesus die on the cross for our sins, but he cried out in the darkness, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he died. He didn't just die and stay there on the cross. But what Jesus did, his body physically, it ceased to breathe. But the spirit and soul of Almighty Jesus Christ, it took a swan dive, went down into the depths of the earth. He led captivity free. He preached to those who were bound in prison. He preached to that devil, "You should have listened to me." He preached to every God denier, "You should have listened to Daniel and the prophets. I am he that was coming, and I have arrived." And he took the keys of hell and death, and he went ascended back on high. I'm telling you, there's nobody like him in his character. He died for our sins. I'll never forget the day I was saved. God changed my life. I walked down the aisle at 587 Landers Drive at the Grace Baptist Church in Mableton, Georgia. Gave my life to Jesus Christ because he paid it all. And I left there with a hunger and thirst inside of me. I remember coming to church with my little mother, me and my brother, and I had a thirst for God. I had a thirst to know this one that loved me so much that he gave his life. He died and rose again. I had a thirst. And that little preacher would preach, "I want to challenge you young people to give your life to God. Come to the altar and ask God what he'd have you to do." And I took that challenge, and he called me to preach, and I'm forever grateful. There's nobody like him. Look unto me in his character. Look unto me in his compensation. Look at verse 3. He's saying, "I'll shower you with blessings." He said, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places." It's 11:58. Have y'all got just another minute or two or three or four? He said, I'll give you treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places. I was the pastor of the Anchor of Hope Baptist Church, just a kid preacher. I'd only been there a few weeks, and they said, "Brother Brian, you took the worst church in all of Georgia." I said, "Tell that to him." Here I am, his next up-and-coming pastor. Here I am, his next up-and-coming evangelist. And he put me in a hard place, Brother Colston. I was there just a few weeks when the secretary had the audacity to come into my office and say, "Now, Pastor, we can either pay you this week or we can pay the power bills and the electric bills. What's it going to be?" I said, "Well, you pay me before." "No," I said, "you pay the bills." And she shut the door. Said, "You sure?" I said, "Pay the bills." I wasn't making much anyway. And she shut the door, and I'm like, "Okay, you hear that? You've called me up here. I packed up the U-Haul. We moved to North Georgia. Now I'm not getting paid. What about that?" And the Lord said, "Do you trust me?" I said, "I come here. I answered the call. I trust you, Lord." He said, "Then I want you to sacrifice your paycheck." "Okay, I already did, but I will." "No, I want you to take the whole month off and not take a paycheck." "Come again, sir." There were 5 months in that month of August. He said, "You heard me." Now, he's not talking audibly, but you know when God's a-dealing with you. 5 weeks, 4 weeks is one thing, but 5 weeks when you got three other mouths to feed at home, or 4 mouths, you got a wife and 3 children. I said, "Lord, he said, "Do you trust me?" I said, "I trust you." First week, I told that secretary, I said, "So-and-so, I don't want you to write me a check for the whole month." She said, "Now, Pastor, I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I want you to watch what God does. Don't you tell a soul or you're fired." She said, "All right." First Sunday came along. I should have got a paycheck that day. I didn't get one. Nothing happened. I'm thinking, where is those treasures of darkness? Where are those hidden riches? All of a sudden, Wednesday night came, nothing. Next Sunday came, nothing. The next Wednesday came, and a little widow lady come up to me and said, "Pastor, I do not know why, but it was a deacon. He said, "Preacher, there's an unnamed widow. She wants you to have this." It was an envelope with 10 $100 bills in it, $1,000. opened up when I got home, and I'm like, hey, business is picking up. What about the other 2 weeks? I went on Sunday. There's another white envelope there. Guess what? It had 10 $100 bills in it. Wednesday night, pastor, same deacon. I said, has anybody said anything to you? He said, no. He said, but someone's saying something to them about you. Are you okay? I said, I'm fine. There's $3,000 in three services. And I'm going, hey, I mean, business is picking up. Thursday morning rolls around. I preach my guts out that Wednesday night like everything is beautiful. That Thursday morning, I get a phone call. Pastor, this is so-and-so. Are you okay? I said, well, yes, ma'am, I'm fine. I don't know why, but I could not sleep last night. Have you made your minivan payment? We had a blue Honda minivan. And I mean, buddy, it looked like Cheez-Its and animal crackers exploded behind the driver's seat. We had a big time in that van. Have you made your payment? Yes, ma'am, I have. How much is it? Well, it was about $4.31.29. She said, you've made it this month. I've made it this month. We're fine. She goes, how much do you owe on that? I said, about that time I'm going, I said, ma'am, we owe around, I don't know, $11,000 or $12,000 on it. She goes, you sure you're okay? I mean, I couldn't sleep last night, and all I could see was my preacher. And that, I'm going to tell you, God's been good to me. All I could see was that preacher. Well, I hung up the phone. Friday morning, I went into the office, and I'm thinking, Lord, what are you up to? My wife calls me, and she knows I had Brother Odom rules. Unless you need me, please give me the morning to meet with God. If you need me and it's an absolute emergency, you call me, and I will come to help. But other than that, please give me the morning to study and know what God wants to feed you. My wife called and said, can you come home? I said, what's wrong, honey? She said, well, you just need to come home. Sister so-and-so has been by the house, and she left something. Well, I'm thinking, I wonder what it is, because I've enjoyed getting those white envelopes. When I got home, it was on the counter, and she said, you need to look at it. And, you know, it all started with a poor church, a poor preacher, but a rich God. And I said, honey, what is it? And she broke down and she said, Miss Norma has come by and she's in heaven. And she wrote us a check for $15,000. I didn't know, but $11,000. So at the end of the month, when I should have gotten my $1,000 a week, boy, they pay the preacher $1,000 a week. Well, that's great, but it ain't when you get that for 20 years of ministry. Everybody else is getting raised, and I'm like, wow. I should have got $4,000 if I'd have just said, pay me and don't pay the church. But at the end of the month, it was around $19,000 that was given to me just because he gave me treasures in hidden darkness. Isn't that something? He said, look unto me in my character. I can save you. Look unto me in my compensation. He says, I can take care of you. Church, look unto him. I know you're hurting. I know that there was a rupture just not long ago. I know that some have gone this way, some have gone that way, but God is saying, hey, look unto me. Look unto him in his character. There's nobody like him. Look unto him in his compensation. He can take care of you. And look unto him in his compassion, and I'm done. While the musicians are coming, don't you move an inch. Look at verse number four. He says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. You know what that means? That means before you knew God, he knew who you were. Before you ever heard about King Jesus, he was giving you a new name. And look at verse 22. He says to the church, he says to the lost, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Do you want a new name that's written down in heaven? Why don't you come and trust him this morning? Let me close with this story. Back in World War II, General Eisenhower made the decision that if we're going to win the war, we're going to have to overwhelm those Germans with soldiers. He made the decision, don't you start playing just yet, he made the decision on the aircraft carriers that we need to storm the beaches. and there was 150,000 soldiers he was going to use to storm the beaches and try to win the battle. The Germans had machine guns set on the beach, and they knew that as soon as they stepped off onto the water and came up out of the shore, those machine guns would start mowing them down. He made the decision that 150,000 soldiers were going to storm the beach. They said, "Sir, it's estimated that over 20,000 of them, they'll see death within the first hour." He says, "I understand that." He was walking on the ship with all those thousands of soldiers. General Eisenhower was looking at them through broken heart and tearful eyes. He said, "Where are you men from?" And they'd call out the states. He said, "You ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you saved?" And the soldiers kind of hushed. He called for the chaplains and he said, "Have you done what I've asked you to do in these prior weeks that's leading up to D-Day? It's leading up to time to attack." He said, "Sir, we've tried to witness to every soldier. We've tried to get the gospel." Hallelujah. I got backup. Somebody tagged in. He said, "Sir, we've witnessed, and less than half of the men are ready to meet Jesus." He said, "I cannot bear to send these young soldiers out into a Christless eternity. Keep witnessing until the very last soldier is off the ship and headed to shore." He returned to his cabin, and they said that great General Eisenhower sobbed like a baby, knowing that men and soldiers were headed to a Christless eternity. Men that would jump off the ship as young men, had their life ahead of them, would give their life on the battlefield. Many of them did not know Jesus. Less than half of them had reported that they knew Jesus and they were ready to die and step out into heaven if it meant it. More than half of them did not know. And he wept there thinking, "Why has it just now come for decision time? Where's the churches that failed to prepare every man, woman, boy, and girl that there's coming a day when you're going to die and you'll step out into a Christless eternity, but you don't have to. You see, Isaiah preached, 'Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the world.'" Are you saved this morning? Are you looking to him this morning? Could you quietly and reverently stand all over the building? Could you quietly and reverently stand all over the building? Could you bow your heads for just a minute? How many of you say, "Preacher, I'm ready to meet God. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm ready to meet God." Could you raise your hand? "I know that I'm saved. He has saved my soul." Wonderful. Put him down. Is there anyone here you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never been saved. I'm lost. I didn't know I needed a Savior. I've looked to everybody, but this morning I want to look to Jesus. Would you pray for me this morning?" Is there one? Just raise your hand. "Pray for me, sir. I don't want to die lost. I don't want to meet God as a lost man. I want to be saved." Anyone like that all over? How many of you would say, "Preacher, I've been looking in every direction but him. And after this morning's message, I'm going to carry my troubles to him. I'm looking to him to help me this morning." How many has God spoke to and said, "Look unto me"? Could you raise your hands? Wonderful, all over the house. If you have a marriage problem, look to him. If you have a money problem, look to him. If you have an addiction problem, look to him. If you have a sin problem, or maybe a complaining problem, maybe a gossiping problem, maybe a lack of faith problem, look unto him. Now I'm going to ask every one of you who can, in just a moment, who knows God, would you come to this altar? And would you look to him for Calvary Baptist Church? Without him, we're not going to make it. Without him, we'll surely fail. If you have a need this morning, would you bring it to him? Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation now. Would you crown it with souls? Would you bring forth fruit unto righteousness? Would you bring this church to their knees to see that it's time to look unto you from whence cometh our help? We'll love you and thank you in Jesus' name. If you need help, amen and amen. If you need help, why don't you come and pray this morning? While these are coming, some are already coming, it's time to look to him. He can supply treasures in the darkness and hidden riches. The preachers that have stood in this pulpit could tell you how God's blessed them. How in the world would that children's home make it without God's blessing and His treasures in dark places? God can do it again. Just come on. Just come on. Maybe you have a need. Look unto Him. That's right. What is your greatest need this morning? Our greatest need is Jesus. Y'all just come pray.
Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today.
If you're able, would you just stay right here in the altar? If you're able, would you just stand right down here in the altar? Brother Greg Colston's coming to the pulpit. He's going to pray and ask God to do what only He can do. Come on, Brother Greg, I want you to come and pray. If you can just hang around here in the altar, if you'll just do that. Brother Greg, just stand. I know it's hard on your knees. Just stand. Brother Greg, you just come pray and ask God to help us.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. Lord, just want to say that we love you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up. Lord, there's so many people that died this morning that we haven't even heard about that have gone on to meet you in eternity this morning already. Lord, there's others that's going to pass later on today. Lord, it may not even affect us. But, Lord, there's a lot of hurting people in the world. There's a lot of hurting people here this morning that has heavy hearts, Lord, that's burdened for loved ones, that's burdened for their church. Lord, I don't know the needs. Lord, I don't have a clue as to what's going on in their lives, their hearts. But, Lord, I'm so glad that I know someone that does. Lord, I pray that you just give peace that passes all understanding this morning on Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, that you just shower them with the power of God like it's never been done. Lord, I pray that peace would move in, Lord. Confusion would have to leave. Lord, I'm so glad that you're not the author of confusion. Lord, but Lord, there's none like you. Lord, I'm so glad that you're my God. Lord, I'm so glad that you're my all in all. Lord, I pray again this morning for the people of Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for Brother Brian for how dedicated he's been to you over the years. Lord, I recall us sitting in Bible class together. Lord, us being told, you preach God. You preach Jesus. Lord, I remember times that we knelt together and just prayed and asked for you to touch hearts and lives. And Lord, I recall several times that we met on Sunday afternoons and preached together. And Lord, a lot of people thought, what in the world are they doing? But Lord, you came down and you touched hearts. Lord, you touched a lot of young preachers' hearts. And Lord, some seasoned preachers as well. Lord, this morning, it's good to look back and think of how great you have been in our lives. But Lord, it's good to look at how great you are in our lives. And Lord, it's going to be great to be able to look ahead of what's going on in our lives that we realize that, Lord, you already know the outcome. Lord, you already know what's going to take place. Heavenly Father, I pray that heaven would be so real, so real and dear to people here at Calvary, that, Lord, you'd give them that peace. Lord, you'd give them that touch from heaven. Let them hear from home again, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do here at Calvary and for your people. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Greg. Yes, well, Lord. You enjoy worship today. Say amen.
Amen.
Isn't that good? I've enjoyed being with you today. Lord willing, we'll be back again next week. And I want to challenge you to get this preacher's phone number and listen. Hey, you can't beat a good preacher. And Brother Greg, be glad to come preach sometime. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Allen. And you just lead us in furtherance of the service.
Amen. Thank you once again for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Have you enjoyed the message today? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian, for coming this way and sharing God's word. And we look forward to having you next Sunday morning as well. So invite someone and come and be back. Please be here this evening at 5 o'clock downstairs. Brother Dwayne will take care of our service this evening. And again, please pray for Brother Ceylon and Miss Catherine. And pray for Claudia in the hospital. And just pray that the Lord's will would be accomplished here at Calvary. Again, thank you for being here. If you're visiting, thank you so much for being in the house of God with us today. If you'll turn around and say, tell someone that you love them, it's been good to see them, you can consider yourself dismissed. Thank you.